prayer, because prayer is central to who we are as Christians. And we are first and foremost Christians. 35 years ago this past January, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was 32 years old. I didn't know anything about true Christianity. And I started searching. I had a hard time finding a church that taught the Bible. I had a hard time finding a church that even spoke about Jesus. I didn't know much, but if a church didn't talk about Jesus, that's not where I was going. I settled in a local Baptist church, and within a couple of years, I was found myself in seminary because I knew God had a call on my life. Got a seminary degree, came back, spent 2 years in the Baptist church, first as an assistant pastor, then as a pastor. When I was introduced to Calvary Chapel, I was introduced to Calvary Chapel through some friends. I spent the next year going to Pastor Lloyd Pulley's Thursday night back then, midweek Bible study. Now he does Wednesdays back then. We're talking 1993. I was going to his Bible study, and 1992 was when I actually started. But I went for a year on Thursday nights. I learned more about God and his word in 1 year midweek studies in Calvary Chapel than I did in 3 years of seminary. Sad statement, but true. And it was at that point that I knew that God was calling me to make a transition from the Baptist denomination, which at that time was becoming more liberal, socially and biblically, to Calvary Chapel, where the Word of God and the whole of the Word of God was taught. And so Lloyd, Pastor Lloyd, who I consider my pastor, Patrick considers him one of his pastors as well, Pastor Lloyd was gracious enough to give me a job as a part-time janitor. And so I went from being a pastor to a part-time janitor in Calvary Chapel. And that was, I made that transition in 93. So I've been in the Calvary Chapel family since 1992 as an attendee, and since 93 on staff. I spent 10 years with Pastor Lloyd as one of his assistants. It's where I got to know and to mentor your pastor. Your pastor actually took my place when I went out and did a church plant in 2003. And so in 2003, I did a church plant and was pastoring that local church for 15 years. When 2 years ago, God called me into a ministry where I mentor pastors, young pastors of smaller churches who have no staff, who have no one, and who need some mentoring. So that was my introduction to Calvary Chapel. And what drew me was the Word of God, the whole of the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, you know, operating in the body of Christ. And that's what drew me into Calvary Chapel. You know, Pastor Chuck, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit were the foundational parts of Calvary. That's our DNA. And yes, Rob, I've been on for the last, you know, 4 weeks or so. I was on for Andy, another young man who I had the blessing of being involved in some of his growing up in Christ. With Andy Dean was on, and then I was on for Gail, and then I was on for Johnny last week with the worship. And as I listened to them share.
Wasn't Johnny great? That was.
But as I listened to him share, Rob, it's Calvary Chapel. You see, that's who we are. We're not the only ones who are like that. We're not exclusive. We don't have exclusive rights to the church operating as God would have us to. But when we talk about discipleship, when we talk about worship, when we talk about Jesus, you know, that's who the body of Christ is. That's our DNA. And so that's a big part of who we are. And undergirding, I believe it all, is prayer, which is what Patrick has asked me to come on and talk a little bit about. You know, Pastor Chuck Smith had such a high view of prayer that he said, you can do more than pray. You can do more than pray after you prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. You know, you can do more after you pray, but you can't do more until you've prayed. And when we think about DNA, What is DNA? DNA is the stuff that runs through our veins. And that's what we're talking about in terms of being a Christian. And one of the central parts of that is prayer. If I were to ask you, Rob, I'm going to ask you a question, okay? I'm going to jump in a little bit like Patrick would be doing, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. If I were to ask you the question, what is the difference between Christianity and religion? How would you answer that?
Man, I would say that, I mean, just religion, I mean, well, Christianity is a relationship with Christ. And religion is sort of man's way of sort of
it's man's attempt to
at a relationship.
God.
Yeah, yeah.
You said the key word. Christianity is a relationship. How is a relationship built? It's built by spending time with people. You and I have gotten to know each other a little bit over the years. I've been out there to do a retreat. We've been at the East Coast Pastors Conference. We've had a couple of opportunities to be together, you know, and we've had some contact in the last couple of weeks. And we get to know each other through relationship, okay? Mm-hmm. Our relationship with God is no different. Okay, we say it's a relationship, and the importance about the relationship begins with God as the initiator. Okay, we could never be saved if God didn't initiate our salvation, if God didn't provide our salvation. Why did he save us? To have a relationship with him, not just in eternity, but for today as well. A relationship involves interaction between parties. Even artificial intelligence, sometimes we talk about, is our device, are our devices communicating with one another? Well, prayer is, I like I'm a pretty simple guy. You know, I'm well educated, but I'm a simple guy. I like to bring things down to a simple level. You know, when you, to me, discipleship, evangelism is introducing people to the Jesus you love. Discipleship is taking people who already believe in Jesus and helping them to become more like Jesus. Prayer is simply communicating back and forth with God, simply spending time in each other's presence. God initiated that because he desires a relationship with us. And he desires that relationship to be real. You know, you and I talking earlier, you said, you know, even though, you know, you're at the church because there's not toddlers running around, okay? Your toddlers have access to you, right? Unless you're not physically present with them. God, we have access to God. Think about that. We have access to the throne room of God, where we get to call him Abba Father, Daddy. We have that intimate relationship because of what he did. And prayer is the relationship being worked out. It's where...
Well, and I think it's so wonderful as you couch that all in the communication that builds a relationship, because as we uncover and as we explore prayer more, we're so likely to want to put it in a box of what prayer is and isn't, you know. But if we just sort of take away those preconceived notions and look at it like, hey, your Heavenly Father has this desire to communion with you. Mm-hmm. You know,
isn't that what Jesus had a problem with the religious leaders? What did he talk to them about? Vain repetitions. Vain repetitions have no place in real communication because they are empty. That's what vain means. Empty repetition. So prayer is not some legalized, formatted, have to do it this way, or it's not really prayer structure. Prayer is honesty between our God and ourselves, you know, with our God again being the initiator. And when we stop and think of it that way, that it's nothing more than a relationship. So prayer involves two things: speaking and listening. God speaks, I listen. I speak, God listens. So often my prayer time becomes just me speaking, and I don't give God time to respond. We often wonder, wrongly wonder, has God heard my prayers? The answer to that is yes, always. The real question is, have I spent time and am I open to hear his response?
So I think I want to dig into that a little bit, because one of the things I always try to be sure never to do is, as Christians, we can become so comfortable in the language that we use that we can forget what that means. You know, as we come up with words and concepts to communicate something as deep and beautiful as having a conversation with God, you know, sometimes we can just glance over, you know, did you hear what God had to say to you? And so what, tell us about what that experience is like in prayer. And I'll give you just one more thing, but before I hand the baton back off, you said something very profound, and I'd like you to elaborate on that as well. You said, prayer is being honest with God and with yourself. And especially the latter part of that statement, I think, is very important to give a little bit more time to.
Okay. As we delve into that, we need to segment prayer, because there's individual prayer and there's corporate prayer. And so I'll talk about individual prayer here. Corporate prayer being when we come together as the body of Christ, which has a unique aspect to it. Still involves communication, still includes the honesty. But let's talk about individual prayer, okay? Individual prayer is when I, and that can happen and should happen throughout the day, okay? We are in a spiritual battle. We were created by God with three parts to our being. The Bible clearly defines that there's body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes soul and spirit is used interchangeably, but for the most part, they're considered separate. I look at the body as the physical being that we have. I look at the soul as our mind, our emotions, our will. The spirit is life. That's what the spirit is. We are born as a two-part being when we enter into the world through our mother's womb. We have a body and we have a soul, a conscience. We have a will, we have an emotion, we have a mind, you know? But the Bible clearly tells us we're born dead spiritually. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again of the spirit. When we're born again of the spirit, now we are a complete being, much closer to being in the image of God that we were created to be, because now we have the spirit alive in us. In our physical body, we have organs that function. I have a heart and I have lungs. Because I don't struggle to breathe, I don't struggle, you know, with my heart, I don't ever think about what they do in my body. I don't get up and tell my body. I don't say heart beat. I don't say lungs breathe, unless I have some sort of physical ailment. It's a natural occurrence in the natural realm, in the physical realm. When Jesus, through the apostles, tells us we're to pray without ceasing, he's talking about in the spiritual realm, that prayer, our communication, our communion, our fellowship with God becomes in the spiritual realm what our hearts and lungs are in the physical realm. it becomes so natural we don't even think about it. That's the only way we could pray without ceasing. Okay, so there's that aspect of being born again of the Spirit allows us to have communion and fellowship with God no matter what we're doing. Brother Lawrence called it practicing the presence of God. Whether you're washing dishes, whether you're pumping gas, whether you're running a government, whether you're pastoring a church, no matter what you're doing, you can do it with the presence of God with you in communion and fellowship with Him. That's ongoing, continual prayer. But at the individual level, I'm also called to do what Jesus did. I think by the third year of Jesus's ministry, the disciples knew when they got up, Jesus wouldn't be wherever they were. He would be out somewhere praying. He would be alone with the Father. Okay? That's what he did. Where's Jesus? He's out praying. Okay? Judas knew exactly where to find him in the garden praying, okay? So Jesus set that example of separating ourselves from distractions so that we could have that intimacy with God where we're devoted and we're devoting our attention to him. You know, I like to think more of devotion where I'm giving my life to God than devotionaries or devotionals. Now, I don't do devotions. I express devotion to God. Devotions, if they help us do that, are good. Otherwise, they can become vain rituals. So when I take my time away with God, that's where I begin to become open with God and open with myself, honest. Okay? If I'm honest with myself, I'm going to see where I lack. Not in a way that defeats me. See, the enemy wants me to take my sin and my defeats and, you know, my weaknesses, my failures, and incapacitate me and leave me helpless. God takes those same weaknesses, sins, failures, and gives me hope through Jesus. So if I go to him, I can confess. That's being honest with myself. If I'm honest with myself, my relationship with God some days is better than other days. If I'm honest with myself, my relationship with God is non-existent. I'm so busy about my own thing. If I'm honest with myself, I know he's doing the work in my heart. If I'm honest with myself, I can see those things. And so as I'm honest with myself before God, God then can move in me. What does God say? Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Well, he dwells in me. How much nearer can he be? He can be nearer through the experience that I am having with him. Go ahead, Rob.
How would you parse, or I guess would you say that there's a difference between a time of devotion, be that communication going either way, how is that time of devotion different than just prayer?
Well, our entire life, devotion ties into what Johnny was talking about last week. It's our entire life. It's a lifestyle of surrender to God, you know, and Johnny did a great job. If anybody didn't see that, they should watch last week's video with Johnny speaking about worship, you know. And devotion is a part of our worship to God. We use devotionals. We have our devotion books that we go to that are not supposed to be something, an exercise that we just accomplish, but they're supposed to be. They were written by people who experience the actual presence of God and want to help us to experience what they've experienced. And maybe they, you know, so they've written these devotional books. So we take those books, if they draw us closer to God and we can practically apply them, then they've served a purpose. If they just become something where I've read it and now I put it down and I had my devotion time, it's nothing more than a vain ritual. Okay? So when we get into the actual intimacy with God, normally we don't have a problem speaking to God with our lists. You know, our prayers, our supplications, our intercessions, all of them are important. But so often that becomes our prayer time. It's nothing more than here's God, the list of what I already know you know needs to be done, but I'm just throwing it up there because that's what I'm supposed to do. I've given you my list and now I go away and tomorrow I'll give you my other list. You know, that those intercessions are a part of it. There's that, you know, anachronism, I think that's the right word. I don't remember what it is, but ACTS, A-C-T-S, you know. If we think of that in terms of prayer, the A is adoration. One of the things our prayer life should always involve is an adoration or worship or an acknowledgement of who God is. Not for God. God doesn't have an ego that he wants us just to feed back to him every name that he's ever given of himself. That's not why God wants us to do that. We do that because it reminds us of just who God is. You know, if I automatically come with just my prayer list, maybe I forget that God is my protector. Maybe I forget he's my provider, my defender. Maybe I forget he's the I am that I am. There's no need I have. But when I remember him as the Alpha and the Omega, when I remember him as the beginning and the end, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when I remember him as the creator and sustainer, what has that done? It hasn't fed God's ego. That's not why he's doing it. It's reminded me of who I am blessed to be in the presence with. It's reminded me that I've been granted as a child of God an audience with the King. And he's all ears. He's all in tune. And he's there saying, okay. So then I go from adoration and acknowledgement of who God is, I go to confession.
So you just talked about adoration, really reminding us who right. God is, being honest the, about that. And then you were going into confession, and that's almost like okay, the other side of that coin, right? Well, being honest. Right.
So confession is where we get to be honest. Why? Because when we're honest and we admit our failures, when we confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive us. Now I'm left again knowing he's faithful to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I now have hope again. I now have hope again. So I've adored him. I've confessed. The scriptures over and over tell us we're to be thankful in our prayer. So I spend a time of thanksgiving with God. Now I come to my supplication. Now I come to my intercession. Now I come to that point where here's God, the things I want you to do. Here's the things God, I'm imploring you to move in. And I'm saying not my will, but your will be done. And so, you know, that's a format that works, but I don't want anybody to think, well, if I just check off the boxes, this is going to improve my, no, it's the heart that goes that says, God, I want more of you. That's what prayer is about. I'm getting more of God. And so how do I get to that place in my private prayer life? How do I get to that position where all of a sudden it's flowing and I'm hearing from God? One of the things I think I've learned to use more recently is to pray scriptures and not just the Psalms. The Psalms are a wonderful place to begin with because those are prayers. Those are human beings' prayers to God. And we take those and we personally apply them to our life. So I don't just say the words that David said. I make those words my words. And when I say, you are the rock, and I won't be moved, I let the word that's coming to me from the Lord in my spirit go before God about how he is the rock. And I built my foundation on you. And then I move on to the next verse. And I learn to pray those. And that begins my interaction. And in the process, what I'm doing is I'm starting to hear answers from God. Why? Because I'm in his word. I'm in his word in prayer. So I'm using prayer, his word, to pray. But that's also going to give me some answers that I'm looking for from God. I'm going to begin to hear his voice. And so as we do that, as we use the scriptures, and we find ourselves not in routine. I mean, I've had to learn for me, you know, in my prayer, in my Bible reading time, in my prayer life, I don't try to fall into a routine. Sometimes I stand, sometimes I kneel, Sometimes I stand with my hands up. Sometimes I sit. Sometimes I walk, you know, so that it's not becoming, I'm not becoming so comfortable with it that all of a sudden, I don't even know what I just said. You know, it's like, where was my mind? My mind wasn't on what I was doing. My mind was somewhere else because I became comfortable or complacent. You know, the newness of God, his mercy is new every morning. Am I looking for that every time I go to God? Am I looking for his new mercy? Am I looking for his grace that's sufficient every day? Am I looking for him to reveal himself? I can only know of God what he reveals to me. And he reveals it generally. All of creation testifies to him, but he reveals himself mostly through his word. And if I'm not in his word, I have a hard time hearing his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And for me, that's often as you know, the Apostle Paul said in that verse in Philippians, you know, be anxious for nothing, you know, but in everything with supplication, you know, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. When my heart is guarded, when my mind is guarded with peace, I know I'm hearing from God.
So what would you say to the person that's watching this right now and so desires, you know, so desires to have just the experience that they can see reflecting off of you, but it almost feels like there's this chicken and the egg situation. You know, when we experience the newness of God, we're drawn to him in prayer, and that drives us to his word, and they just feel stuck. You know, maybe think back to when you first came to faith, and there's always that moment where we're a new believer and we've got that fire. How has that fire matured and just grown in strength and depth through prayer as you've walked with the Lord?
You know, it's an ongoing developing, okay? The key for it all to me is our desire, okay? Our desire to do it. I believe if we have the desire for more of God, he will lead us in the path. He will take us down the road. You know, one of the things you talk about going back to your early experience with God and, you know, to the church in Book of Revelation, Jesus said, you've left your first love. And so often I think what's happened to many of us and even began to happen to me was I begin to listen to Christians who kind of gave off the idea and even would sometimes directly say, oh, well, you're a new Christian, that'll fade. No, don't ever say that to anybody. Don't ever believe that. And if people are telling you that, get away from them. If people are satisfied with lukewarm, find people who aren't to encourage you. I think my zeal grows when I'm around people who have zeal. And then it becomes contagious and other people catch the zeal and want that zeal, you know, but it begins with an attitude of the heart. You know, it's that dichotomy that we wrestle with so many theological issues, subjects, you know, God's part and man's response, you know, God's part is he draws us to himself. Our response is to go, you know, draw near to God. What does that mean for somebody who wants more? It's just getting alone with God. Get away from the distractions. Don't take your phone. If you're reading your Bible on the phone and that's where you're going to do it, go find a hard copy somewhere. You got one in your
house. We have paper Bibles. I'll give you one.
Right. But just for the purpose of getting on fire again, allow yourself not to be distracted. The moms of little children are saying, that's great for you to say, but how do I do that? Well, you know, ask God to show you how you do that. Is it after they go to bed? Is it, you know, when they take a nap? You know, Is it during a time when you know they're going to be playing? And, you know, whatever it is. But you ask God, God, show me how that I can just say, here I am, God. I believe that when we go to God and ask him for more of himself, he is never going to say no. In fact, his word says he will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. And I believe that applies to our prayer life as well. I believe that applies to our Bible reading as well. But we have to really want it and desire, and not the practice of prayer, but the person of God that comes when you practice prayer. See, what's the goal of praying? The goal of praying is not to pray better, but to know God better. What's the goal of reading the Word of God? It's not to be able to memorize it and have it down, but to know the God who gave us the Word. The whole aspect of prayer comes right back to relationship. Why do I have a relationship with you? If I want to get to know you, I spend time with you. You know, we learn to see how we interact together. Well, the same thing is true with God. You know, it doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens because we basically sit down and say, God, you are important enough to me that I want you. And I want more of you. You know, I don't want to satisfy. I don't want to be satisfied. I don't want to settle for less. And when we do that, expect that God's going to meet you, because he will. That's who our God is. He's revealed himself over and over and over again, not only to the lives that are recorded in the Bible, that great cloud of witnesses who went before, saints who are around us today, but he's revealed himself to you and to me in the same way. If we would just take time to stop and think about all the times God has met us, how much more would we want him? How much more would we want? And that's where it comes from. And as we invest in the relationship, you invested in the relationship with your wife. You invest in the relationship with your children. You're investing in the relationship with your pastor, and you're investing in the relationship with the kids who are part of the children's ministry in Wichita. You invest in that. We need to stop and say, am I investing in my relationship with God? That's where it begins.
So what are a couple heart checks? Because it is so often in pastoral ministry, you encounter people that, you know, if they're sitting down having a conversation with you, there is something in them that wants it, you know, and yet they feel like their prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. But it's what do you say to someone like that?
Okay. What I would say, you know, and obviously if you're having that conversation, you know them a little bit better than just a general conversation. So how I say it now might not be how I would say it to them. But I would try to get across the idea of, you know, if someone says to me, I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, then I have to get them to stop and think, why are you praying? Are you praying just to get the answer for the prayer? Or are you praying to get to know the one who can answer that prayer? You know what I mean? So that it's like when we start to feel like God's not hearing our prayers, we need to stop and really reflect at ourselves. Is it because we've missed him? Is it because I'm not giving him time to respond? Is it because I don't like his answer? See, oftentimes we think our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling because we don't like the answer that's coming. And so God's answers are always yes, no, or not now. You know? And one of the things, the more you know who God is, the more you know him through his word and through the experience of living in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the more you come to know God, the more you begin to believe that God intends for good for you. Let me just say one more thing on that, Rob. Every time God says no to your prayer, it's because it's not what's best for you. See, God wants what's best, and he knows what's best. Don't settle for good. Don't even settle for better. Settle for best. You know, and so if we have that mindset, it then transforms our prayer life. We become diligent, you know, we become more diligent. You know, God says to keep on asking. If we feel like, you know, we're not getting any answer, it might just mean it's not the right time, but that doesn't mean to stop. If we hear the answer is no, then we don't ask anymore. Now it's time to move on. But if we don't hear the answer, and we're not feeling it's a yes, then we keep praying. Because so often our prayers don't involve just us. They involve others. That's usually who our prayers are about. They involve others. So we're asking God to move in somebody's life, whether it be salvation, whether it be, you know, prodigals returning, whether deal with addiction, whether no matter what it's dealing with. You know, we're asking, we don't see the answer. And so then we think, well, God has said no. Well, maybe he hasn't said no. Maybe he said, just keep praying, because I'm working on that. And see, we can't see how God is working in the lives of others. We have a hard enough seeing how he's working in our own lives, because we're so cluttered. We've allowed so many noises to come in. You know, in this time of COVID, there are many, many voices coming at us from many, many directions, to the point where we don't even know what truth is. Truth is Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't need to know which medical expert is right if I'm seeking Jesus Christ. I don't need to know whether the governors are right or wrong if I'm seeking Jesus Christ, because he is truth. And in the midst of it all comes back to Jesus. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is putting me into intimate fellowship with Jesus when I'm really, really praying, when I'm bearing my soul and I'm allowing God to respond to that. And I'm allowing God to lead me. What it's doing is it's drawing me into the presence. I mean, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace, where you can obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. But come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly as creation, but as children, both, that dual aspect. To come boldly to the throne of grace and believe that he's going to respond. And it might not be today, but that's when we become diligent. That's when we say, I'm not going to grow weary doing good, for in due time, for in due time. And I don't know about you, Rob, you know, I'm a lot older than you are, okay? There's a couple things I've learned in my walk as a Christian is usually, when God tells me to take one step, I think of a result five steps down the road, and that never happens, because all he's told me to do is take the one step. And if I just stay focused on the what now, God, what now? You've answered that, what now? Not what 5 years down the road, but what today? What today, God? And that's all part of just falling more in love with Jesus. That's what prayer does. It's allowed me to fall more in love with Jesus. And
it reminds me of, I think it was 2 years after we were blessed to have you up at Camp Horizon, David Guzik joined us up there, and his opening session, he was speaking about God as our guide. And he said something that really resonated with me. Because I used to wait tables. I used to wait a lot of tables. And a bad waiter has to come and ask you what you need. A good waiter sees that you need it and brings it there. And why? You know, it's by observing. And he just encouraged us. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we maintain that focus, then we're automatically led step by step. You know, and the second we're looking at that destination, you know, our eyes are no longer on Christ. You know, but if we keep our eyes on Christ until he follows, he will lead us to that destination. But so often especially in prayer, it, you know, just the nature of our flesh, we want to rob that and take control and use it. That prayer is the, we so often use prayer as the means and not as the end. You know, when we're forming a relationship, when we're getting to know a new friend or dating our spouse, the goal is not so one day we can be married. It's I just want to know you better. I want to know you better. It's like, you know, if we're getting to know a good friend, hey, I'm not doing this so we can hang out at my 50th birthday party. I'm doing this because I'm just enjoying being in your company right now.
And when we think about that aspect, Rob, and that's such a good picture, is when you talk about a good relationship, you have a good relationship, whether it be with a spouse or a friend or whoever it might be. You didn't have an objective down the road. You had an idea that I want to get to know you better because I like being with you. What I've learned so far, I like being with, and I want to know more of you. Why do we have that in us as human beings? But because we are created in the image of God. And that's what God desires in the relationship. That's what he desired in the relationship in the garden. And that's what the relationship in eternity will be like. This is a process of working it out. We are fallen. He is not. And he's shaping us more and more into the image. We're attaining to the fullness of the stature of Christ day by day. At least that's his desire. And so in that, there's that intimacy, not just with one another. He prayed for oneness in the body of Christ, but that we would have a oneness with him and the Father. Where does that come from? By getting to know him. And he's given us his Spirit dwelling in us to give us that desire to get to know him, to want more of him, you know, so that relationship, it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. But it begins with just really saying, God, I want it, you know? I think of the centurion who went to Jesus, you know, and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus said, if you only believe, he said, I believe, help my unbelief. In some ways, that's what we need to do in prayer is, God, I want it. Help my inability to want it. Help my inability to achieve it, God, because I don't know how. But God does. And see, what works for me might not work for you. It might, but there means they're labeled. And he knows each one of us. And he knows what we need from him, even when we don't. And as we go to him in recognition that and what I need most of all is the experience of God's presence. And I love, there's a song out right now, and some of the words are go, you know, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in your presence. I'm caught up in the holy moment. I never want to leave. You know, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. You know, all I want is you. And when we have that heart that just says, all I want is you, be ready for him to reveal himself. You know, and that's all individual. Corporate, you know, corporate is when we come together and encourage one another. Part of the way my prayer life grew was by being in corporate prayer with people who were practicing what I taught about, what I try to practice now. When I saw it, when I saw the reality that they really believe they're talking to God, you know, when I'm around people who don't believe they're talking to God, I know that, you know, but when you see somebody who is practicing that presence and they're aware of it, they can draw you with them into the presence of God, you know, and that's one of the blessings. I mean, when you think about it, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. But wait a minute, Jesus, you dwell in me. I'm there. You're there when I'm alone. So why would he say when two or three are gathered? He's saying when two or three are gathered because there's something about the corporate nature of prayer, because there's something about the corporate nature of the church. When we can come together and say amen and hallelujah. And, you know, I've been, one of the things, I mean, I have been so blessed the last about 5 weeks. I've been doing an online prayer. One of the things that came out of this COVID is Calvary Chapel has this around the world in prayer, 24 hours, you know, 5 days a week. Some of us go on Saturdays because the lines are open. On Sunday, they're doing some church services from different parts of the world. But people are leading prayer from Australia, from Peru, from Hungary, from Ireland, from New York, from Washington State, from all these various places around the world for an hour at a time. And it's unusual because it's on Facebook. So it's like everybody who's watching, you're seeing comments, I'm not, you know. But what's happening is they're beginning to comment and they're beginning to pray, and I'm beginning to see them pray. They're catching, even though it's online, they're catching the vision, and they're praying for one another, and they're praying with one another, and they're encouraging, and they're amening, and they're hitting the like buttons, and they're hitting the love buttons, and they're doing all of those things. That there becomes the corporate nature that draws us even greater into the presence of God. And so that's, you know, something we don't want to neglect. It, you know, it's a sad state of affairs in the church in America that the prayer meetings are among the least attended meetings of the church. It's sad. It's sad. It's a condition of the heart, and it grieves me, you know, for that. And, you know, early on, even in my Baptist years, you know, God put prayer on my heart as an important thing. And the local Baptist church that I was an assistant pastor in was going through some difficult times. And God put it on my heart to start a Friday night, 7 p.m. to Saturday morning, 7 a.m. prayer. And most weeks, from about 11 o'clock on, I was there by myself, except for one man who would come at about 2 to 3 in the morning because he knew I would be there alone and he didn't want me to be there alone. But even the hours before that or the early morning, very few people would come. The church was in turmoil. And yet people didn't see the value of prayer. And see, that's an important aspect of prayer, is seeing the value of it. Does it change things? If the things that need to be changed are being changed in accordance with God's will, absolutely. But does it change me? Without a doubt. When I am truly praying, why? Because what is prayer? Prayer is not just giving my wish list to God. Prayer is me getting to know my God better. The relationship's growing. What's going to transform my life? Jesus. The more I know Jesus, the more my life's going to be transformed. So that's why prayer changes things. That's why prayer changes me. It's because I'm getting to know my God better. I get to know him better through his word. I can experience more of him in creation. But in that time in prayer, when I'm led by the Holy Spirit, you know, and think about this. Think about this, Rob. We have the Holy Spirit in us that intercedes when we don't know how to pray with groanings and utterances. I don't even know what to pray, but I know I'm supposed to pray. But we also have Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. He's praying for us. I wonder how many people who are listening to this have actually stopped and thought about the fact that Jesus right now is praying for them. Jesus is praying for me, and I'm praying as I'm speaking. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying for God. Where do you want this conversation to go? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to say it, God? Because I don't want to say anything wrong, God. I don't want to offend you, God. I want to be in accordance with your will. I want to be following you. And how do I do that? You know, he's given us minds that when we're operating in the spirit can focus on you, who I'm talking to, even though I'm talking to a broader audience, I'm talking to you because you and I can talk back and forth, but I know I'm talking to a broader audience, but I'm also speaking to God. My mind can do that. I might not be able to do that with people splitting my mind that way, but I can do it between people and God. See, there's always a place in my mind and my heart where I can allow God to rule and reign in my thoughts, to be a part of my thought process, to be a part of my speaking process, to bring forth what he desires, so that the words that I speak become part of that. You know, when Jesus was speaking in John's gospel, and John is recording this, and the disciples, Jesus didn't speak until really, you know, that upper room discourse. But earlier in his ministry, there was one occasion where the John tells us what Jesus said, that he said that, you know, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and I will give him living water. And then he said, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then John adds a commentary that Jesus didn't say at that very moment. And that commentary is, John says, this he said, speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so when we are in tune with God, even our words, as we're asking God, anoint my words, will become part of that living water that's flowing from our heart.
You know? And it's just a moment ago, you said something so wonderful. You said we that you can allow God to be a part of your thought process. And I think that's such an important verb, because it's not, he's always a gentleman. He's always a gentleman. And our broken flesh is so quick to want to fill up that memory space, to use that for this, that, or whatever. But an attitude of prayerfulness allows God to reside in that place.
You know, and there's an aspect, Rob, of what we want to think in terms of when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay. It's in allowing God into our thought process that the word of God can come in and feed us. And we don't want to get set in routines, and we don't want to get set in such a way that we become like Israel, who did not realize the manna, the freshness of the manna every day. You know, God provided them in manna, physical food, in the same way he provides us the spiritual food through his word. But we need to allow it, or we could become, oh, manna again? Oh, it's 7 o'clock. I got to get up and pray, or whatever time you've allotted for it. Or I got to do that. I mean, but the more we actually practice, and again, going back to Brother Lawrence, the more we practice the presence of God, the more we want the presence of God. You know, and again, it's a catch-22. I've got to want it. God's pulling me. But once I start doing it, and I start to experience some of the freshness of God, and, you know, in a good way, his mercy that's new every morning, his faithfulness that never fails, when I get to experience the peace in the midst of the storm, when I get to remember that his footsteps are my pathway, when I even think about, as he said to one of the minor prophets, and I can't remember which one right now, but he said, God is singing over us. We sing to God, and that's a good experience. You know, that's a part of our worship experience. Only a part, an important part, but it's only a part. But to think that God is singing over us, it's mind-blowing. And it's mind-blowing in such a good way, because I'll never understand why, but that's not important why. The fact is, he is. That's what's important, is he loves me. We all go through that. I don't know why. Well, okay. We don't have to know why. The reality is, not because you're better than anybody, not because you're more talented than any, not here, but other than he loves us. He loves us. That's all. And he wants a relationship with us. And I think as part of the push, part of the desire comes from a real realization and believing he really wants to spend time with me. And for some people, that's very hard to believe, because people don't want to spend time with me. But our God's not like people. when father and mother forsake us, our God will never fail us. And our God puts the solitary into families, and our God mends the brokenhearted, and our God heals, and our God saves. Why? All because he loves. And not that we want to have a false ego or a false pride, but we also don't want to undervalue how God sees us as his children. And when we get that, we come to that place of saying, I want more of it. And I begin to express it. And some of us come from a place where we had a fear. Fear was instilled to us. And it might even have been in religious organizations, put a fear in us. And there's a healthy reverence because God is holy and majestic. But at the same time, he's loving and compassionate. And he portrays himself as a loving father or as a mother hen, you know, who protects and provides. And when we get that idea, that's what leads us more and more into prayer. And not so much as, here's my list, God, but, oh, Dad, what do you have for me today? Oh, Father, I just, you know, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. I just want to stay here with you. And he says, but I have something for you to do. Okay, now I'll go do it. Why? Because I've been fed, I've been filled, and I'm going with your authorization. I'm going with your authority. I'm going with your love, and I'm going in your name. You know, but it's that idea, you know, of being before doing. And the being comes from the relationship with him. Be before do. But that comes from sitting at his feet.
Yeah, another way I've heard it expressed, you know, of all the W questions, you know, why God? Where is this thing in my life? What is going on? When is this going to happen? The one that we should really focus on, and the one we're least likely to dwell on, is who. You know, right. God, who are you in this situation?
Right. And Paul said that. He says, I remember whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed to him. And see, it's always going back to the who. Not the what, not the why, not the where, but the who. The who is the most important part. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking the what and the where and the why. Job did, and God didn't tell Job asking the why was wrong. But what happened in Job's life? Job said, you know, I had heard of you with the ear, but now I have seen you. How did he see God? Because God speaking to him and him speaking to God was prayer. Mm-hmm. And he said, now I have seen you. You know, and that's where it's the who. It comes back to the who. What else?
Time.
I don't know if I covered
no.
Patrick wanted
no,
enough.
We should.
Not here, so too bad for him. We did what we want.
Gosh, we could. This has been such a blessing, and it feels like we've just scratched the surface. But I know it's later for you than it is for me. And
I'm fine. I'm good. I mean, I'll be up in the morning praying. Anybody who wants to join in, 7 a.m. Eastern time, 6 a.m. In fact, there's a couple people who come on from California every morning with me. They're up at 4 o'clock to pray every morning with me. It's on the Calvary Chapel. I'm on two feeds right now. I had started having some technical problems arise everywhere. It's part of the CalvaryChapel.com Facebook Live page. It's the one that has the round circle with a black filling and the CC on it. That's the Calvary Chapel you want to go on. And they do the live feed. It's 24 hours a day. It's prayer. There are also recorded ones there. You can go on and watch any of them there. There's a few other things, but it's their Facebook Live. I believe it's calvarychapel.com/Facebook/.
We can hunt around and get some links and post them with this. Actually,
but
I also
wrote it on my own page, Rob, on my own Facebook page, So, and I made that available to public share, to public posting. So I'm actually on two feeds in the morning, just because sometimes one doesn't work, and people have found. And so I have different people who come on different feeds, and I pay attention to both of them because people put in prayer requests and we pray for them. But I'm not the only one, you know. A couple of my friends right around here in New Jersey are on. Pastor Chris McCarrick is on at 1 o'clock. Pastor Bill Beckelman is on at 8 o'clock at night, all Eastern time. Wayne Taylor, Pastor Wayne Taylor is on out in Seattle. Nick Cady's on from Colorado. Kara Denny is on from Hungary the hour before me. Ed Hook is on from Ulster County in New York at 5 a.m. Eastern time from the U.S. here. Following me is Pastor Brent Harrell, who is out of Italy, Rome, Italy. One of the guys from Scotland is on. So there are people coming on at all different hours. It's covered 24 hours a day. It's officially Monday through Friday, but myself, Ed Hook, and Wayne Taylor, and a couple of the others are on Saturdays too. And even if they end up shutting that down, I'm probably going to continue my page, at least for the extended future. You know, people are catching the vision of prayer. You know, and
man,
so people are welcome to join in.
We would love to. I would certainly encourage people to. If you can't join Ed at that 6 o'clock our time, as he so faithfully recited, there are many other opportunities. Right. Ed, I would have loved to have a time of prayer and take some prayer requests from those watching. But very early in this video, we lost our Facebook live stream. So I just went ahead and clicked record. So as soon as we're done with this conversation,
right,
I'm going to post it so everybody can be blessed. But would you close us in prayer, brother?
Sure, I will. Oh, Father, how good and right it is. As we've talked about prayer, that we should spend some time in your presence. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are a God who sits on the throne. But Lord, I thank you are a God who sits in our hearts as well. You've taken up residence, you tabernacle in us. Oh God, that's just so unbelievable, and yet it's so awesome at the same time. We worship you, God. You are the creator and sustainer of all that there is. You are our loving Father, Lord. You are the one who began a good work, and I believe, Lord, that you are the one who will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for Patrick. I lift him up to you, Lord. I pray that your healing would be upon him, Lord. I thank you for Rob. I thank you for all the others, Lord, who are there in Calvary Chapel in Wichita. I pray that you would continue to move and give them guidance, Lord. Oh, your church needs guidance right now, Lord. And we pray for wisdom to know how to be loving in the midst of uncertainty. And God, we do pray that those who do watch on the recording, Lord, or those who might be able to come on to other prayer times, Lord, I do pray, Lord, that we would have a heart to know you more, to love you more, and to spend time with you. God, we thank you that you are here. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And Lord, you desire to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think. So we bless your name. We speak well of you. We magnify the name. We lift up the name of Jesus. And we say, holy, holy, holy to the one who was, who will be, and the one who is today, the same as yesterday. We say, holy, holy, holy to the Lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the earth, who brought life and that abundantly. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Ed, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Rob. It's been a blessing.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Bye.